The Station of the Stars. RTI.
Welcome to Postcard from Poprad, boys and girls, on a week that's kind of traumatic. My name's Eric Wiltshire. We're at the base of the Tatry Mountains here in the east of Slovakia, in the town of Poprad, which is still got lots of snow everywhere, and it's really, really nice. I think we're going to get some rain, though, that which is a bit worrying. But don't worry, if you're coming on holiday, plenty of snow up on the mountains. Over in the UK, on the zit of the nose of Europe, it's none other than, well, the aged Mr. Banks.
How'd you do?
How'd you do? I don't know, how do you do?
Don't do that! You know that's my greeting, you just arrogance and rude. Yeah, age, man, we've got to have a talk about age. I've been thinking
have we?
About
talk,
age.
Talking yeah. of age, let's yeah, go to Paris. There we have it.
The man who looks a lot younger than he is.
It's Mark Gander!
Hello there, everybody. Hopefully, I look older than I am, because I had a very difficult paper round when I was a kid. I think Eric did as well, actually. Yeah,
probably. Got to say hi to the guys at Talk Radio, Extra Replay Radio, Audio Boo, and the wonderful people from RTI listening around the world, literally around the world. And thanks very much indeed. I must remember one quick message. It's from a gentleman down under, which will be coming to the tragic sort of news from down there soon. And I hope you're all well down there. And it's to his good lady wife, Caroline. And the message was, I'm sure you'll enjoy reading out the name Caroline on the radio, Eric. Well, I've done it. So I hope you're very well down there in Bondi Beach. I'm sure it's all right down there. I'm not so good on my geography down in Australia.
Yeah, it's all right there.
Good stuff. This week's show is produced by none other than Mr. Banks himself. Which worries me immensely.
I don't really know what that means. It worries me as well, because I don't know what it means.
I must say, I got a bit of a surprise when I sort of saw what was coming up, because this looks like the disaster episode, actually.
It is a bit, isn't it, this week?
Yeah.
Well, it just is. Anyway,
it's not my fault. I didn't invent what's going on in the world.
No, that's true. Normally a very sort of comedy-based sideways look at the news on the programme, Postcard from Poprad, but a little bit more serious as well this week, because there's so many tragedies going on. More than 500 people are known to have died in floods in southeast Brazil, so our hearts and prayers go out to everybody down there near Sao Paulo state. Heavy rain has caused mudslides and a whole plethora of disasters going on down there, and apparently it's the largest death toll since 1967, which is incredibly terrible. The pictures coming out of Brisbane, also come to you immediately. The pictures coming out of Brisbane were over 20,000 homes, not to mention all the businesses were literally buried underwater. I know exactly what that's like from last year in Slovakia, where we were terribly underwater as well. And then, of course, Sri Lanka, which has been battling like a civil war scenario for such a long time, has now been hit by massive floods, and some of the areas down there are only available or accessible by helicopter. It's not good, is it, guys?
It isn't. It's terrible. It really is. And it's you know, what can you say? We just have to send out our best thoughts to these people and just
keep battling.
You know, just help them. Yeah,
keep,
that's right.
Keep on
What an extraordinary train of natural disasters has been on them. Because, I mean, you know, although we're talking about these new natural disasters which are still piling up, they're piling up on top of stuff that's still going on. I mean, Haiti, where I think over 250,000 people died. In Pakistan, I think the death toll and the disruption there was just, you know, huge. And still it's all carrying on, because people are still dying of disease. All the aftermath of this is an extraordinary business.
Yeah, exactly.
How will it ever stop? Is it all to do with global warming?
I don't know, because it's like Vesuvius has started to bubble up as well now, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Well, a lot of people are saying it's because of, and whether there's any great veracity to this, I don't really know, but it's to do with the floods, not last Christmas, the Christmas before. And, you know, that actually did rock the world, literally rocked the world on its axis.
Isn't it just 12 months since Haiti as well?
I think it's not much more than that.
It's just around that sort of time.
I mean, it's all weather-oriented, isn't it, really?
Absolutely shocking.
I mean, we've got economic disasters and so forth, but really, you know, when the weather wants to do something, there's no stopping it. It's just not understandable at all.
And it pales into insignificance in terms of money as well, because there's nothing.
Of course, it does. Yeah. But in Brisbane, there is all the trouble over insurance claims.
Oh, I know.
You know, people are already starting to cause trouble. It's saying we're going to put up insurance. This isn't the time to say you're going to make us put up insurance rates. This is the time to say, look, come to us, we'll sort your lives out, then we'll have a talk about it.
Unbelievable. Anyway, moving along, boys and girls, as Lee said quite rightly, our thoughts and prayers are with everybody around the world. And if you do have an opportunity to in any way help some of these people, please do it. Because it's kind of nice just to help your neighbours now and again, wherever they happen to come from, because...
Not so sure about your neighbours when they like mine.
Well...
people who are in trouble around the world, neighbours.
Lee's off already, as I can see, because apparently there's a bit of a bun fight with Mr. Mosley again, isn't there?
Oh, yes. Just before we do that, can we do messages? I've only got a couple.
Oh, go on then.
Just a nice one from our regular The Duke saying, good show. But stop attacking Lee, lads. And he spelt Lee wrong. Thanks.
Why? Well, I don't think he really said that at all. Actually.
No, I don't think so at all. Just fabrication, really.
Yeah. Right. So one off Gary as well.
What's that then?
Keep up the good work. Postcard from Poprad makes the weekend sing. Well, we don't actually have a music license, do we?
No, but we suppose we could sing. La la la, la 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 la. No, sorry.
Gary can't sing. I know, Gary. One from Luke in Delhi. These are all nice messages, and if I've made them up, you should think that I'm a really cool egg for making them up, because they're so nice, right? Luke in Delhi got a few loudmouth mates round for a few beers. See, I wouldn't write things like that. Sorry, Luke, but I wouldn't put two few's in one sentence. I got a few loudmouth mates round for a few beers in my apartment in Delhi, my new apartment in Delhi. We listened to the show. Amazingly, hardly anybody spoke for an hour. You could become the Howard Sterns of Delhi. The last one.
I don't think so.
Lizzie in London. Lizzie in London. Yeah. I bet I made that.
Yeah.
It just says, ha 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 ha, very funny.
Oh. So looking at this week's script, it's going to be a bit of a downer, isn't it?
All right, carry on then. Should we do Mosley's race to keep his secrets then?
Remember, Mark's got a little bit of input to the production this week as well, with a little topic he came up with, found on the BBC, if I remember rightly, Mark.
What, should we do that now? Or do you want to do...
I'm not sure which one that is, actually.
You emailed it over to me.
Was it about Twitter? Oh, yes, it was.
Yes. So,
I mean, we could start this budget thing, actually, because actually I think it fits in very well.
Go on.
Because here we have the story is Max Mosley, who's now trying to get a new law passed through Parliament. And I'm going to say straight away that I think what he's saying is quite reasonable. He's been somebody who, if you like, has been found out by the tabloids getting up all sorts of saucy tricks. He was, you know, obviously sort of quite scandalised to find that elements of his private life were sort of splashed over the newspapers.
He shouldn't have been acting scandalously then, should he?
Well, it fits his private life, and it hasn't got to do with what he does in public. And I don't really see the problem about that. And I think
if he was a mass murderer in his private life, that would have got to do with
it. That'd be a bit different.
Yes, but was he actually breaking the law here? I'm not sure that he was. I think that's very important. But
it isn't to do with the Brits breaking the law. The simple fact is that he is a public figure in a public who courts publicity at the drop of a hat to do whatever he wants. Yes. He didn't behave himself. He got caught. He moaned about it. He had the power to take people on, and he's gone ahead and done it. And what people tend to forget in these circumstances is that 99%. And this is the God's honest truth, not making any of this up, 99% of people affected by a story that goes in a tabloid or any other newspaper have prior knowledge of that story. I don't actually know if Mosley did.
This is the whole point, isn't it? Because he's asking for a new law, not to ban this kind of stuff, but simply to require that if newspapers are going to publish stuff, that they give the target, if you like, prior knowledge so that they can decide what action to take if they want. And that sounds to me fair enough.
What have I just said? 99% of the of time, that's what happened.
Oh, shush, he's off again.
He wants to make it 100%.
Seriously, why do you want to make it a new law? You've got injunctions, super injunctions, everything stopping us talking. Yeah. You
know, I think the aspect of this that I was quite interested in was not only about injunctions, but this idea of super injunctions, which is really quite amazing. And for people who don't at home who don't realise what a super injunction is in these kind of circumstances, not only do you want the press not to report on you, but you also go to court and require that even the existence of the injunction is never ever made known. And I think that that's probably pushing it a bit too far. And the reason I took an interest in this, because quite recently Twitter was required to produce a lot of information about WikiLeaks. Mm-hmm. And in the United States, not only was an injunction granted against Twitter, forcing them to reveal information about WikiLeaks, but there was also an injunction ordering Twitter not even to disclose to anybody that they were going to reveal all this information. In other words, a super injunction. I'm very pleased to say, and I think hats off to Twitter, that they went back to court and they said, well, if we are going to be forced to reveal this information about all our users, all our members, at least we want the right to inform our members so that they know. And that part of the injunction, the super injunction, was overturned. And I think that that's great news.
Well, I think the other thing you've got to remember there, guys, is that whilst we log on to these things, it tick the box to say we've read the terms and conditions, which we don't. Mm-hmm. There's a whole bunch of different laws that apply, as has been found out when, for example, there's been a bun fight between the EU and Microsoft, the EU and Google, and various other bodies that often come from America. Sorry, America. I know it's not the normal citizens doing this stuff. But there is a fact that the EU will take up challenges like this and go, whoa, our data protection licenses, lads. And I think someone's seen a little bit of the light down there in America.
Yeah. Can I ask the two of you, I'm quite curious here, do you think it's a good thing that Twitter was subject to a court order in order to reveal the WikiLeaks information, or do you think they should have revealed the WikiLeaks information without a court order?
It's got to be a court order.
I think it's got to be a court order, yeah.
Can I just say that's very interesting because last week we had a conversation about Google being required to produce information to the police. And I seem to remember that, and I'm sorry to say that, both of you were sort of saying, well, why on earth should it need a court order? That they should just simply give up the information. And I think
Eric, he thinks he's shot you out of the water.
And I think,
you haven't really.
I think what we've got here really is a very good example of how important it is to have court orders and have a bit of scrutiny about these things before information is given away.
Well, I'm now going to upset most broadcasters on the planet, Mark, because this was a top tip I was given by, I had to say, one of the, well, I hold him in such high esteem, I'm not going to tell you who he was, but just one of my peers in talk radio. And I said to him, blah, 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 no, what's the best tip you can give me? Because, you know, looking at your audience, they all argue with you, they all do this, but you've got this massive audience. He said, oh, it's easy, Eric. Mm. If the sky's black, say it's white. If the sky's white, say it's black. Guaranteed to work every time.
I agree with you. Can I just return to super injunctions, though? Because just be totally blasé about the effect that these super injunctions... You see... Let's take a step back, because I don't want to be too controversial about this, because I know we'll all get upset and we'll all throw our things out of the pram and everything, but let's be realistic about it. What we're actually talking about is not the fact that Max Mosley did something which he found sexually exciting at that time and then was absolutely mortified because the rest of the world found out about it. What we're actually talking about is the destruction of freedom of speech in this country. We're talking about destroying the fourth estate for the world. And super injunctions are already doing that covertly, and we don't know what super injunctions are doing. We don't know if there's one super injunction out or there's 1,000 super injunctions
out and what
they are doing is denying us freedom of speech covertly without us even knowing. That's where it's bad. And the simple fact about newspapers exposing people, there are two points to be made on that, then I'll rest my case and shut me gob. Right, first of all,
I don't believe that.
Well, I probably won't. No. But there is actually, right, an unwritten contract between editors and celebrities. Mm. Yeah? And that's that they tell us what they're doing, and we publish it, and they become famous and make themselves rich and popular. Then they do something wrong. It's part of the contract that if they do something wrong, we'll tell the world they've done something wrong as well. It's as simple as that. Yeah. And this stupid attitude of getting super injunctions and making things work that way is simply because the rich, the powerful, the people who have done something wrong now have a way of stopping us telling the world, well, extrapolate that through all the things that these people could have been doing wrong. Mm-hmm. And just because there is a bit of a victim to saving and battling for freedom of speech every now and again, that's like the rest of society.
Well, there's an easy way around that contract, isn't there?
No.
Yeah, really. There is an easy way around it.
What?
Dead simple. We know how many people read the internet. We know how many people read newspapers. So if you're thinking of being a celebrity, don't court the newspapers, court the internet. Stick it all up on there. And if the newspaper has a go at you later, you say, I didn't have a contract with you. Get out of it.
Like I say, it isn't a contract. So it's a contract. It's an understanding.
All right, then.
Well, I think Lee's absolutely right about super injunctions. I don't think there's any place for them.
Hang on. I've got to check the date here. I've got to check the date. 14th of January, 2011. Unanimity between Mark and Lee. My God.
Right from the moment he started speaking about super injunctions. It's beyond question.
It's very nice of you to patronise me on air.
The only people who would ever favour super injunctions would be the rich and governments. Nobody else.
Blinking lootly.
Well, why does that? No. Hold on a minute. Just because you're rich, it doesn't mean to say you're always going to be bad. So I can't agree with that.
Well, no, nobody's saying that. The rich people who are good don't end up in this situation.
Exactly.
But you can't say just because they're rich they're going to.
I agree with my learned friend.
Look out, boys and girls. Mark's about to put the black cap on.
It depends how much you respect and believe in freedom of speech. And you, Eric, as a broadcaster, having been through the things that you've been through in the past.
Yes.
And the way the freedom of speech was taken away from you, you should be 100% behind fighting for freedom of speech, and that's what we're doing.
I am totally, but I think it's got to be
powerful people with loads of dosh to be able to take it away from.
I agree with that sentiment, but it's got to be two ways. That some of the most powerful and rich people on the planet are senior journalists. Don't tell me they're not. You've only got to look at the ones that end up on the telly making millions. And they still write columns, so there's got to be what's good for the goose is good for the gander. That's my stance.
Eric, now there is a fact here, and I didn't really want to go down into the minutiae of this, but there is a simple fact, quite truthfully, that the celebrity journalists you're talking about, the ones who are making millions, and believe me, there ain't that many of them, you know, are treated in exactly the same way by the press as any other celebrity. If they do something wrong or they get caught, then they get done for it. The simple fact, you've asked me this before, why we don't expose journalists in the press generally. It's because, actually, the journalists are not very interesting. But there is a simple fact, and this is where I will rest my case again.
I'm going to pick that sentence up. Journalists are not very interesting, thank you.
Most journalists are alcoholic, cigarette-smoking, twisted, ugly little people who only come out at night and sit in corners and watch what's going on and pretend to write. Most journalists are not really sexy and exciting and dramatic and romantic and glamorous. It's not a glamorous breed. Journalism is not journalists are not a glamorous breed. But the simple fact.
And I've always admired you so much.
I am glamorous. I am.
I know.
I am gorgeous.
I model myself on you.
And romantic. Right, we'll have to talk about it. But the simple fact is that the law of the British land, going back hundreds and hundreds of years before even Caxton had even thought of a printing press is that if anybody does wrong, and this is a basic tenet of the law, if anybody does anything wrong, then they should be exposed to their community and the world at large. And the law says that. That's why people, part of the contract with the courts that journalists have, is that they report cases. They should actually report every single case that goes on in a court. But we don't. That's it. So I'll rest my case. Rest it.
Thank you very much. I've managed to write an SMS while you were wittering on.
I've written novels listening to you.
apparently there was a bit of a bun fight in Oldham? Up in the north of England, because there was a what is known as a by-election where they were looking for a new MP. And the Labour Party, or New Labour as they call themselves, are crowing about winning. But I think it was a bit of a limp victory.
Well, I don't know.
I mean, the Conservatives took a right bloody nose, didn't they?
Well, I don't think they bothered to try very hard, did they?
Well, Corporal Clegg got it, really, didn't he? He's the worst. He should be kicked out anyway.
I don't care about that one. So what's this one then, Lee? Boys and girls, I didn't write this. This is the professional journalist...
Right.
Writing. What don't you have, Eric? I love the grammar. What don't I have? Slovakia doesn't have, Paris doesn't have, but we could all have one for a quid.
That's a perfect construction of a rather awkward sentence. It probably says, what don't you have, Eric? What don't I have? Slovakia doesn't have, Paris doesn't have, but we could all have one for a pound.
And why has Slovakia not got a big S then?
Because it was just a note between me and you.
Oh,
and
I see.
Press the thingy key down. Paris has got a big P.
You have a big P in Paris. What's all this about then?
Well, I just think it's interesting. It's not particularly a news story as such. I just think it's something we should do. What's all that? Three of us club together and buy a beach.
What, for a pound?
That's great.
Yeah, you don't have a beach. I don't have a beach. Slovakia doesn't have a beach. Paris doesn't have a beach.
Excuse me, we do have a beach.
Yeah, hang on a minute, we haven't told people what the story is yet. It seems that a stretch of beach, which is part of the famous Dorset Jurassic Coast, complete with dinosaurs, is going on sale for only £1.
Thank you, Mark. I was just about to say that. Yeah,
I'm sorry.
That's the truth. Yeah. Dorset is selling off a stretch of beach, part of what is called the Jurassic Coast, for a quid. Let's buy it.
Well, why are they selling it then?
Chairs. Where are they selling it?
Why?
Because it costs them too... This is ludicrous. This is why Britain's bankrupt, you know.
Yeah.
Because it costs too much to look after it. Right? They reckon that it's actually worth millions, but it's too much to, look after the few houses that are there and look after the beach, maintain it and stuff like that, and it ain't bringing them in enough money. So instead of saying, well, it's worth, what, say, £2 million, let's sell it for £1 million, lads, just get rid of it. So we'll sell it for a quid. That's business sense to me.
Oh, marvellous.
Amazing.
I'm not sure I'm into the next one. 4 hours screen time a day, you're dead.
Yeah, that's apparently it. And
apparently, watching TV or playing computer games for long periods damages your heart, regardless of how much you exercise, says scientists. I've got a problem.
What? Yeah, I've got a problem.
I'm dead.
What? I think I have as well.
This is coming from outer space, this program. Because, I mean, does that include computers as well?
Well, that's my point. That was actually the point I was going to make, yeah. That actually, they say that... if you watch telly for, I've forgotten who they are now, it's the University College of London's Department of Epidemiology.
Oh, listen, look, everybody knows they're a bunch of bloody troublemakers, those people.
And public health.
Yes.
Public, saying that our public health department are a bunch of troublemakers.
Yeah, but hang on, Mark, be reasonable for a minute. They've got to come out.
No, I didn't mean that. Before the libel writ's coming, I didn't mean that.
No, but listen, they've got a big budget. They've got to churn some stuff out to justify the budget. And so
they could go and buy some of that beach.
Well, that's true. Yeah, actually, they could, couldn't they? But apparently, the analysts at University College London suggest 2 or more hours of screen time each day may place someone. One, at greater risk for a cardiac event. Yeah, but, just a minute. Let's just think about this. They wrote this report using computers, which will take more than an hour.
Eric, I agree with you, yeah.
Yeah, they shoot themselves in the foot here a bit, aren't they?
Who is that person anyway?
Who's what person? Dr. Emmanuel?
That's someone who's going to die.
I don't know.
No, it is quite serious if you think, because, like the Fourth Estate, this has got more ramifications than on the face of it. If you think about it, this is quite scary. Because we do spend... I don't, how many hours do you watch telly a night, Eric?
If
there's anybody there.
Typically, 3 hours.
And how many hours do you spend on your screen? Your computer screen?
Are you
actually watching your computer screen at the same time?
Well, the computer screen's probably on for about 8 hours a day.
So that's 12, 13 hours a day. Call it 12 hours a day. What worries me about that, and this is the God's honest truth about this, again, I don't really care about a stupid report off the University College of London's Department of Epidemiology and Public Health, is the fact that we spend upwards, the majority of us spend upwards of 12 hours a day dealing with the rest of the world and friends through a piece of glass.
Yeah, and I think the other bit, which is very prevalent to me, is that... the comment I would make here in Slovakia, whilst other people would say, let's walk, I'll say it's quicker to jump in the car. And there is this mentality of people here exercising differently to ex-London chap who jumps in the car to go up the road.
There's a reason for that as well, though, isn't it? Because where you're living now, which is one of the most glorious parts of the world, there are the opportunities to do everything from skiing, football, horse riding, everything. You've got Aqua City on your doorstep, which is a big health thing. So you've got all the facilities, whereas round here, where I am now, the closest swimming baths is, 5-6 miles away, and costs you a fortune if you go. I've never been, actually, but it does.
Thank God for that. I was thinking the water board are breathing a sigh of relief.
Oh, Eric, can we be nice for 2011?
But no, it's actually true, because there's not enough... And it's not wrong, actually, that we tend to take the car out and not do anything, whereas when I was a kid, you know, the sort of travel mode was a bike, which was good for your heart, wasn't it?
Exactly, yeah, exactly.
Okay, anyway, that's the end of part one of Postcard from Pop Rap Boys and Girls, believe it or not. That goes quickly, doesn't it? We'll be back with part two of Postcard from Pop Rap, where apparently I'm going to be challenged on computers or something, according to Young Lee. We'll be back faster than you can make that milkshake, have a cup of tea, or even walk to the shops and back. This is Postcard from Pop Rap.
From the heart of Europe to the world, RTI.